Hi, my name is Richard Lyon, and I'm one of the developers of the SASE module. This is episode 11 of the Modules Unravel podcast.
Welcome to the Modules Unravel podcast, where the Drupal community speaks. And now your host, he played Diablo 2 way too much in high school, Brian Lewis.
Welcome to the Modules Unraveled podcast. My name is Brian Lewis, and today I have with me Richard Lyon. Richard is a web developer at LiveLink New Media in the UK, one of the developers of the SASE module, and involved with the HTML5 initiatives for Drupal 8. And Richard, I'm really glad to have you on the show.
Great to be here.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start out by telling us who you are and where you're from.
Okay, I was born in Wales in 1989. I started programming when I was 13 with JavaScript and then onto PHP. And then I was, from 17, I started working as a freelance web developer using CodeIgniter and Expression Engine. I went on to study computer science at the University of Liverpool. And then on graduating, I started with LiveLink New Media, and that was my start with Drupal.
Okay. So what did you start doing with LiveLink New Media?
I started in June last year. Which LiveLink is an entirely Drupal agency, so I had to learn Drupal pretty quickly. So about 2 months into my tenure there, LiveLink hosted a visit from Sebastian Simpson, who's also known as the Thubi. He's one of the guys on the Omega project. And he came to teach us how to theme and, you know, help us build a theming system.
Mm-hmm.
I really owe him a great debt for teaching me just how to code Drupal properly, and how to sort of look up what hooks I need to use, and also for eventually insisting that we start building a Drupal module which compiles SAS.
Hmm. Okay, so what's the most recent project you've been working on?
In my spare time, I mostly work on SASE and its two related things, which are Prepro, which is another config module, and PHP SAS, which is the compiler itself. I also work on the Manchester United Soccer Schools project, which we just completed. And we're moving on to creating a theming system, which I think we'll talk about a little later.
Okay. Great. Well, then let's move on to the SASE module. For those who have not heard of SAS, what exactly is SAS?
SAS is a preprocessor language for CSS. Its aim is to make CSS less awkward to write. Easiest summary is that it makes CSS a lot more dry, which is don't repeat yourself.
Hmm.
So it achieves this by adding a few features on top of CSS, which work, you know, as a superset, which means all your existing knowledge of CSS is still completely valid. It just changes things and adds new features. So those are in sort of order of importance. Firstly, variables. So these work just like PHP variables or variables in any other programming language, and they hold a value for you to use later on. So you can use those to hold stuff like color schemes or font stacks or sizes of your various elements or whatever else you want to use more than once. So this is really great for if you need to make a change, it just makes it a lot cheaper in some time to make that change. Next up, it adds selectors, the ability to nest selectors inside each other. So, firstly, it means that your code represents your HTML structure a lot more closely. It also means that you have to write less code. So, where you might previously write UL as one, then ULLI as another, then ULLIA as a third selector, one after the other. With SAS, you just nest them inside each other. So, you have the UL as the top level item, then the LI inside it, then the anchor inside that, and so on.
Hmm.
And finally, if you need to make a change, again, this is in the event of a change, the cost is greatly reduced. So if you want to change the selector, it just ripples down from one change, or if you want to apply one set of styles to another element, you just add the selector to the top level element, and again, it ripples down, and it's one change instead of 30. Thirdly, it adds things called mixins, which are sort of like functions that return chunks of SAS. The common example is border radius. So if you're using plain CSS, you wanted full cross-browser license, you'd need to write border radius and then dash WebKit border radius and all the rest of them. By using a mixin instead, you can just do that with one call. So include border radius 10 pixels, and it chucks out all the prefixed forms of those. Mm. That primarily has the advantage of just reducing the amount of code you need to write. It can also be used to make changing things easier. On top of that, you also add the maths, so you can add two numbers together or multiply, you know, things or subtract or add colors together even. Media handling, so media selectors for responsive designs, those get a lot easier to use because you can put them inside selectors and nest it, you know, deep down in the nest. So if you want to respond to a certain thing, you have the media selector right next to where the original selector is defined. So there's no sort of hunting around for where things are defined in the responded version of it. It adds handling for things like HSL and HSLA and bunches of other functions like round and complement, forgetting the complementary colors.
Hmm.
So it adds lots of cool things. So with all of those sort of, you know, packed together into the thing we call SAS, CSS becomes a lot more modular. And one of the big sort of uses of that modularity is the thing called the Compass library, which is the same, is made by the same people who make SAS. And it's intended to add sort of the default set of mixins that you'll need to use and additional functions so that you don't have to write them yourself. So in the previous example I mentioned, border radius, that's one of the included mixins in the Compass library. It's got other stuff for, say, sprite frameworks and so on.
Okay.
There is a slide, or set of slides, which should be included in the show notes if you want to look at that more closely.
Yep, we'll definitely make sure those are in there.
Great.
And the show notes will be at modulesunraveled.com/podcast/011. Okay, so the SASE module then is a way to write SAS for Drupal, right?
Yeah, the SASE module means that you can just have .scss files instead of .css files in your theme or module. And SASE picks up on those and compiles them into CSS.
Okay.
So that's actually comprised of three separate modules. Sorry, two separate modules and one library. The first one is Prepro, which is PREPRO. And that handles actually noticing that you've got files in the style sheet list of a certain extension and offers a thing called registered preprocessors, of which SASE is one. It also handles caching, after rewriting within the style sheet, and settings for those preprocessors. So SASE is one of those preprocessors, and it says to Prepro, I want to look at .scss and .sass files. And then when it receives those, they get compiled using PHP SAS and sent back to Prepro. So PHP SAS, finally, one answer, is the bit of code which is responsible for taking in a string of CSS and chucking out a string of CSS.
All right, so how can SAS be used to make responsive design easier within Drupal?
Well, firstly, SAS adds all those features that I mentioned before, which are great for, you know, creating responsive designs more easily. I won't go too much into what those are right now because we're talking about Drupal. But it adds the ability to, you know, use the Compass library. And then built on top of the Compass library, there's frameworks like SUSY, or S-U-S-Y, which provides great responsive grid mixins. So you just call include grid 9, and it'll add a 9-column bit of CSS into that selector.
Hmm.
And then there's another framework which builds on top of SUSY called Aura. That's by Sam Richard, who's part of the PHP SAS team. He's been working on the testing. Aura adds an even better, well, if you like it more, it's better, I suppose. Typography-based grid, which is even better for theming, and that's the Aurora theme on Drupal.org by Sam Richard, which is a theme which uses Aura. It's a bit of an auto-responsive theme using SAS. So that's sort of where SAS brings you with a responsive design. Now, within Drupal, with the SASE module, SASE has hooks for defining custom functions and for defining namespaces. So we look at the functions first. The functions, you tell PHP SAS that I've got these functions and these are the callbacks. So you say, you can define one which, say, gets the setting from your Drupal file, from your Drupal settings, and drags it into your CSS if you wanted to do that. So you can define from the admin screen stuff like, you know, your colors of your style sheet, much like the color module does, what your breakpoints are, whether you want to use breakpoints at all, what headers you're using. So namespaces are our way of resolving paths that you ask for in your SAS into paths on the Drupal system. So when you ask for something like bartik/screenshot.ping, it passes it back to the Drupal side and says, can you get that namespace for me? And SASE says, yep, bartik is a theme. So that first segment is the namespace. And then within the bartik directory, there's screenshot.ping, so we return that to your SAS. So when you want to use images from a specified location, then it's very easy to do that.
Does SASE come with any performance issues?
Well, yes, in a way it does, but they're not an issue on a production site. So the way we handle incoming SCSS files in production mode is if they've not been compiled before, since the cache has been cleared, then it compiles them again. Otherwise, it uses the cached file. So the first time a user requests that style sheet, then there will be a short performance hit of between about half a second and 3 seconds, depending on how large your style sheet is. Mm-hmm. You know, half a large user would be a 3-second performance hit. So it's not a huge issue. And then, you know, if you want to compile your SCSS on every page load, that's what we call the development mode, because mm-hmm. I really recommend doing it in production, then you can do that, which also lets you see how long the performance hit is. So yes, there is a performance issue, but it's not anywhere near approaching a problem of any great magnitude.
Okay, so really it's just the first hit after the cache has been cleared that's going to notice the delay, and after that it's cached, so it shouldn't cause an issue at all, right?
That's correct. We might in future add a third mode, which is sort of even less damaging than the production mode, which means that you have to manually clear the cache to make it regenerate. So they aren't cleared automatically on cache clear.
Mm. And is there a lack of any features that the Ruby compiler has?
Well, the Ruby compiler is what's known as a compiler-defined language, as opposed to things like JavaScript, which are spec-defined. So that means there's always going to be some feature in Ruby which isn't available in the PHP SAS version for a little while. At the moment, we are feature complete to the latest official release of SAS. And as far as I'm aware, we're up to spec on the current pre-release of SAS. So at the moment, we are not lacking any features that the Ruby compiler has. But when new features get released, it will take some time for PHP SAS to catch up.
Okay.
So if you don't require the cutting edge stuff, then you're perfectly fine with using the PHP SAS compiler.
So who is SAS directed to, or who should be using the SASE module?
Well, I think that anybody who's writing any more than just tiny little bits of CSS should really be using SAS and, by extension, SASE. Because of all the aforementioned features, it just makes writing CSS a lot less hassle. And if you're into that kind of thing, a lot more fun.
Okay.
So, you know, anybody who's writing more than bits of that, themers and module developers.
How will this affect the workflow of someone who's doing their CSS or theming?
The ideal situation is that it doesn't change the workflow of someone using it at all, beyond installation and errors. So, you know, when you first get started with it, you can just write CSS and it'll compile fine without issue. You know, you don't need to use the new features at first. And then when you get comfortable with it, you can just start using variables and then nesting and mixins and all the other cool things. The main change is when you get an error, because SAS is a compiled language. It means you can make syntax errors, which again is possible with CSS, but it doesn't affect you as badly. So when you make a syntax error in your SAS file, it will stop that style sheet from being compiled. So you'll get a blank style sheet, which means it removes the styles from your site. But it will also show you an error message on the page that's using that style sheet. And that error message is generally descriptive, and it always comes with line numbers saying what line is wrong. So it shouldn't be too much of a hassle to, you know, get around those errors. And the only time you get errors mostly is when you, say, miss a brace, which shouldn't happen if you're indenting your code correctly, which is really recommended for nesting. Or if you're using something like a forward slash in a weird location, that can occasionally cause weird glitches. It shouldn't change the workflow much. And when it does, it's because you made a mistake.
Great. That sounds really cool. And I'm going to definitely start using that when I do a redesign for my website and the other sites I build.
Great. If you have an issue, then we have, you know, obviously an issue queue on the Drupal site, which we respond to pretty quickly. I get an email straight away when someone posts an issue. We love getting bug reports because we want it to be, you know, bug free.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for talking about SAS. Let's go ahead and wrap up this episode. First question, is there anything that you're excited about that you're not working on personally, but you think looks really cool?
Drupal 8 in core, sorry. Fuck that one up. HTML 5 in Drupal 8. That's really cool. So the broad aim is to get Drupal 8 to use the HTML 5. You know, there's loads of new tags from HTML 5, which make your page a lot more semantic. And hopefully remove the number of tags that you're using to define stuff. Because, you know, Drupal 7 and Drupal 6 have a really big problem with just loads of divs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And like Morton and DK are working on stuff like the mothership theme, which removes a lot of that cruft. But that's part of the HTML5 initiative for Drupal 8, is to firstly change stuff to use the more semantic tags, which should get rid of some of that cruft. And also add the new tags like the menu tag for properly defining your menus, and the new HTML5 input elements. So stuff like number is a new type of element. And that is pretty cool because it has the validation all built into it from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're building forms, which pretty much anybody who's touching Drupal will eventually have to do, adding these new tags should make it a lot easier to build a form which has validation on some basic stuff like emails and numbers,
mm-hmm.
without, you know, any custom code on your own side. So that's pretty cool. Hopefully we can put a link to that in the show notes for the issue queues for that.
Okay.
Next up, another thing in Drupal 8, or possibly Drupal 9, is SAS. Back to the original topic, I suppose. There's a broad topic, sorry, a broad discussion to get SAS into Drupal 8 or 9, which is, it doesn't get more complex than that, really. We just want the ability to have either the canonical versions of the core style sheets to be in SAS, which are then compiled to CSS before distribution, or that we have a compiler like PHP SAS built into core, which is pretty cool, I think, although obviously I'm biased. So it would add a lot of the benefits that I talked about before, in that making code and, you know, fixing stuff in Drupal core in the style sheets of Drupal 4 will be made a lot easier for people who know SAS at least. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. All right. And Richard, where can people find out more about you and your projects?
Okay. I'm on Drupal.org as Rich the Geek. I'm on Twitter as Rich the Geek. I'm on IRC as Rich the Geek. I'm pretty much everywhere as Rich the Geek. GitHub, Rich the Geek, which has got PHP SAS and a few other projects. So, you know, just search for Rich the Geek and you'll find me.
Okay. Well, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that I'm not the only one working on PHP SAS, so I'd like to thank Sebastian Simpson or the Fubi, because he's one of the other main guys in it. Sam Richard, also known as Snuggo, who's been doing some great work on the testing framework lately. Tracine, who's, you know, really helped out in pointing out where PHP SAS needs to go to get it more popular and closer to Drupal core, and, you know, what the problems are with it. So thanks to all those people for helping out with it.
Great. Well, thanks again, Rich, for coming on the show. SAS sounds really good, and I'm definitely going to start using it. So thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
For more information on SAS and the SASE module, check out modulesunraveled.com/podcast/011 for the show notes for this episode. Thanks again for all the kind words on Twitter and for spreading the word about the show. I really do appreciate all of that. And lastly, don't forget to get your tickets to DrupalCon Denver. That is coming up very soon, and tickets will be sold out shortly. That's all for this episode, so we'll see you next week. We'll be right back.